Blog Talk Radio.
Is racism hurting you? On issues of race, are you unable to speak, think, and act with clarity and confidence? Are you tired of laughing when nothing is funny, smiling when you are not happy, agreeing when you really disagree? CounterRacism.com, you can learn specific strategies and techniques to counter the behaviors of the people who practice racism in all areas of activity. Using words correctly, following counter-racist logic, even counter-racist science projects designed to reveal what racism is, how it works, and how to counter it. The open source code writing format allows you to pick and choose from a variety of counter-racist suggestions so you can produce the code that works for you. Stop by counterracism.com today and help replace racism with justice.
That's counter-racism.com.
Outstanding. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to another edition of the Cows Context of White Supremacy. I believe Mr. Gretna Glass, are you online?
Yeah, I'm here.
Groovy. I still hear a little bit of distortion in the background.
Okay. I tried to call again on Skype, but it wouldn't let me. It said I needed a Skype credit or something. I'm not sure what that means.
Oh, okay. Still hear a little bit. I'll see if we can rock through it. But yeah, this is another edition of Context of White Supremacy. Gusty Renegade checked in. I thank everybody for supporting the show. Again, one thing everybody who's tuned in can do that would be extremely constructive. If you could favorite the show, if you want to put a link up to the website on blogtalkradio.com, that would be very helpful. Also, if you could tell other folks, victims of racism, tune in, check the show out. Very helpful. I would say anyone who's doing any constructive work to replace white supremacy with justice, if you got a website, link their page, tell other non-white people to check their show out. That would be very helpful, would really do a lot in terms of spreading information, constructive information, to other non-white people. Other than that, get ready to kick out today's show. Have Mr. Gretna Blast on air. Again, I don't know if there's anything you could do affect with the echo. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm just on my cell phone, so I really not sure what I can, like buttons I can push or anything to help that. I can't hear what you're hearing on this end, so.
Wait a minute. Oh, I was going to say I don't hear it now. I don't hear it when you talk, so maybe that means I have to talk less. If you want to tell our listeners where you're calling from, as much constructive information as you would like to share about yourself.
Okay, well, I'm the user on YouTube. My username is Gretna Blast, and my channel is youtube.com/GretnaBlast. And I'm in the New Orleans area. I study music, and you can call me Adam. I guess it doesn't hurt to know divulge my first name or whatever. I just posted these videos called White People, You're Not Victims of Racism. And then later I posted a video called Barack Obama Equals the End of White Guilt? So that's pretty much it.
Okay. I definitely want to get into the videos because that's how I got in contact with you, or that's how I, came to know about you in the first place.
Right.
but I want to kind of handle the business end first.
Okay.
I want to get, do I have your permission to ask you questions related to all areas of people activity? That would be education, economics, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war as it relates to the system of white supremacy.
Yes.
Second, another big one, do you believe that there is a global system of racism, white supremacy, where, and what that means is definition, system designed, a global system designed to mistreat and or subjugate everyone who is classified as not white?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, okay.
I definitely believe that.
Okie dokie. Are you a white person?
Yeah.
Okay. And I was, you said you were able to check out the previous show that I did with Mr. Robert Jensen. And
yes, I did.
Mr. Jensen, when I spoke with him, we talked about the importance in a system of white supremacy of non-white people having an understanding when you're dealing with white people, you should really, it would be logical to think this white person could be a racist, or if they've admitted it, this is an admitted racist. Did you hear that part on the show that I sent you with Robert Jensen?
Yeah, I heard that.
Okay. Do you think that is constructive and that that is a logical position for non-white people to take in a system of white supremacy, that each white person that they encounter should be thought of as a suspected racist or an admitted racist?
Well, yeah, maybe. But, of course, there are some whites that are just not racist at all. But so maybe there could be three categories. But obviously, to be suspected, you know, I wouldn't. I'd say that's a fair assumption, given you know the nature of society in America and Europe. So, yeah, it probably would be constructive, because knowing whether or not they're a racist is kind of important in how you're going to deal with them.
You said there are some white people who are not racist. If we do have a system of white supremacy, how would a non-white person know definitively whether or not that white person is or is not a racist?
Well, I guess it would just have to come down to knowing them, like really knowing. And you can't really know that kind of thing about somebody unless you know them personally. You know, if they're not an admitted racist and they don't, you know, they're not looking at you funny or whatever, you know, it's like, I guess it's kind of like, you know, I'm sorry, man. It's how would they know if whether or not they're a racist? Like, it's like, I'm sorry, man. I'm spacing out here.
Oh, take your time. It's all good.
So you're asking non-white people, how would they know if people are racist, or like,
I'll restate. Okay. If we have agreement. We are in a system of white supremacy.
Yeah.
As a non-white person, how would I know definitively whether or not the white person is or is not a racist? How would I be able to, you know, come to 100% certainty about this white person's status as a racist?
I think it would have to come down to their, like, their their political participation and whether or not they're actively speaking out against the system, the white supremacist system, and whether their you know political convictions and their activities serve the purpose of combating that system. So they would have to look at what they do, and how they live and how they spend their energy pretty much.
Okay. So you're saying it would take a lot of intelligence to come to a conclusion. Would it be logical to say that in the meantime, until you have gathered enough intelligence to conclude that this white person is definitely working against the system of white supremacy, would it be logical for the non-white person to take a stance that this white person could be a racist?
Yes, because even if the white person is not like an open KKK or Nazi, even if they don't consider themselves racist, if they're complicit in the system and they don't recognize that it's there, then that's almost the same thing. Hmm. So, yeah, I would say yes.
Okie dokie. And this, I'm just asking these questions to be very clear, to get your views on how non-white people should go about business of countering racism, and to be business-like about it, not emotional, not name-calling, just, you know, to have a approach that is based on logic, sound reasoning. So in the business of countering racism, while we're doing the interview, I just want to be clear. Would you be in the category of an admitted racist, or should I suspect that you're a racist?
I guess you should suspect that I'm a racist.
Okay, no problem. We can go with that. I wanted to know, this question I tend to ask white people, Mr. Neely Fuller Jr., he has written a book on the system of white supremacy. He's a non-white male. Mr. Fuller has said that white people cannot be ignorant about racism. Do you feel that that is a true statement?
Does he mean they in general, there's no way for them to be ignorant about racism? Or that like they can't be ignorant in order to do something?
Meaning that white people have to be informed about the system of racism.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I don't really know about if they have to be told that it exists, or if they can just see that it's happening. I mean, I definitely didn't realize that when I was young. When I was a little kid, this may surprise any of the people that have seen my videos, that when I was young, I truly believed that all African people had certain tendencies to be like to be violent and to be like mean spirited in the U.S. And it really that was something that I was never told otherwise. So yeah, probably so. They probably do have to be. They can't be ignorant, you know.
Oh, okay. So you're saying you think that statement is true?
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to ask. I want to see how you feel about this. Under the system of white supremacy, do you think it would be enough for a white person to know that they are white, to know the criterion for determining whether someone is white or non-white, and to be aware that we are in a system of white supremacy? Do you think that would be enough for a white person to function as a racist white supremacist?
To function as a racist white supremacist?
Yes, sir.
Not really. Because, like I said earlier, even if they weren't aware that they're, you know, economically white, not just ethnically white, and they could still be complicit in the system and therefore allow it to continue. So by in that way, they would be a white supremacist because they allow it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And but, of course, if they're not informed about that system, then the complicity, it's still something to serve the system, but I think it's really easy to see, you know, it shouldn't be difficult for anybody to see that non-whites around the world have been oppressed by whites and white supremacist system. So I don't think all of that knowledge is necessary to be a racist or white supremacist.
Okay. I understand you're saying you don't think a white person needs to be aware of those three pieces of information. So I just want to be clear with the question. Does that mean that you think a white person, if they are aware of the fact that we are in a system of racism, they are aware that they are white, and they're aware of how to determine whether or not someone is white or non-white, you think that's enough to function as a racist?
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to be clear. And the reason I'm asking this, what you just said in terms of it should be obvious, that right there would make this gold. It has been my experience that many non-white people, many of the victims of white supremacy, are not aware that we're in a system of white supremacy. You just said it should be obvious. And I bump into lots of non-white people who do not believe that such a system exists, who will even argue with me or other non-white people who try to tell them that such a system does exist. So that right there is really the key to all this in terms of why I do this show, why I wanted you here. I think it's very constructive to have white people who are willing and able to speak honestly about the system of white supremacy, how it works, to share constructive information with the victims of white supremacy so that we can be more informed and can, you know, do more to replace white supremacy just because we'll be more informed about it. So I think that's key. And one of the key things I have observed is that non-white people do not believe white people are informed about racism, white supremacy. They think white people are ignorant. I've heard non-white people say this repeatedly, that white people are ignorant about racism. They don't know. They're not aware. The non-white people tend to remove responsibility from white people when they say these types of things. So I think it's real important that you, a white person, just said, number one, you said that a white person wouldn't even need to know those three pieces of information to practice racism. And then you said that you did feel, excuse me, that those three pieces of information would be enough to function as a racist in a racist system. So that's why I felt it was very important to get a white person to, you know, share your view on that and your belief that that is all a white person would need to know to function as a racist, and maybe even not that much. Let's see. I wanted to ask, following right in line, do you believe that the white people who practice racism, white supremacy, are more informed about the system of racism, white supremacy, what it is and how it works? Do you believe those white people are more informed than the non-white people?
Well, let's see. Practicing racist, like white supremacist, like as in maybe like an activist, like somebody in the Klan or somebody in a Nazi organization, you know, skinheads or some people call themselves white nationalists. A lot of these kinds of people, actually, I don't think that they realize that there is a worldwide system of white superiority. Their view seems to be that all the other people, all the non-whites, are taking over. And there's a big sense of paranoia among these people. And no, I don't think they realize that even though their personal situation, that maybe they're not like a rich, you know, person. They don't have $1 million. They're struggling to get by. They don't see that it's not just about ethnicity. It's the economic sense of being white. Like white privilege is really kind of an oxymoron in a sense, where white means privilege, not necessarily white skin. Just the privileged class is like the white class. And they don't see that this abstract sense of it does affect colored people as, in the real ethnic sense, those people in the world. No, I don't think that a lot of practicing racist people who would openly admit to be racist, I don't think they do realize that there is a worldwide system of white supremacy. They don't realize that they've already got that. But as a practicing racist, as somebody who is willingly ignorant and maybe they deny that such a system exists, you know, they I'm sorry, man, I lost track again.
all good. I'll restate. I'm asking if you think a white person who practices racism, white supremacy,
yes,
if they are more informed than a non-white person about racism and how it works.
Well, if they recognize that the system exists, then obviously they would be more informed about it. Because, I mean, like I was saying, if they don't know it exists, then no, they have the same level of information or misinformation. So like I was saying, if you define an active racist or a practicing racist, somebody who believes in discrimination or believes in segregation between people, I suppose that they do have more informed about white supremacy because they are white supremacists. Although, like I was saying, I don't think they realize how much oppression still goes on today towards non-whites, against non-whites. So it kind of depends on how you define the terms and what really informed, what you mean by informed, I guess. I sound like Bill Clinton right now. Well, it depends on what the word if means.
Definitions are important.
Yeah.
My definition of racist, this will clarify, my definition of racist is a white person who practices racism,
uh-huh.
And that would be thought, speech, or action.
Okay.
That mistreats and or abuses a non-white person. That would be
okay.
My definition.
All right. Yeah, so these people are actually the ones who are not more informed than the non-white people. The ones who are informed about the system and do nothing, they are more informed. They don't need, or the practicing racists, they're ignorant as well, not in the sense that it makes no sense to be prejudiced against somebody, but they don't see that there is a worldwide system of white supremacy, and those who do realize it, they don't fight against it, and they could also be said to be racist. They're the ones that are informed about it. And they would be more informed than some of the non-white people who may not realize that the system exists. As you said, some non-whites don't agree that there is that system.
I'm going to use a metaphor really quick. If we were talking about a prison system, do you think the guard would be more informed about how the prison system functions or the inmates?
In a way, the inmate would be more informed because they're actually affected by it. Like it's they're the ones who are living inside of the cells, and the guards are just kind of doing their job. That's what they would tell you. Of course, the guards have the keys. They know how the key works, but of course, the prison system. A prison system is to, not just to keep people locked in a cell, but it's to punish people. It's to make people feel, try to make people, you know, feel like they are bad people, and it's people on the outside that those are good people. And that's what the inmates understand, and the guards might not understand.
Okay. Well, my view, and I could be incorrect. My view, and I've had this discussion with others, I feel the guards way more informed than the inmates about how a prison system works. The guards, they would have access to the food schedule, when the food is coming, when the laundry is going to be done, architecture, schematics, blueprints of the building, where all the inmates are, where all the supplies are, where all the toilets are, where the brooms are stored. I feel guards would have much more access to information about how the prison system is set up, how it runs, even the inmates, what they're doing there, what, how long they're supposed to be here, what they're supposed to be doing from day to day. The guards have access to all that information. The inmates do not.
Right.
And I
okay.
feel. Oh, I'm. Did you want to comment?
Well, yeah. So you're saying that the guards know about the actual the building and the people, the how many people are there, and all that kind of stuff.
How the prison functions.
Right. The prison, the physical prison.
Well, no, because I said how it functions. I mean, we're talking information about what's going on here, what people are going to be doing day to day. That's not the structure of the building. That's how this prison system functions.
Yes.
Where the inmates are, when they're going to eat, what they're going to eat, how much they're going to eat, when they're going to be. I mean, we're talking the actual how the prison system functions. It is my view, the guards are much more informed, and they have access to much more information than the inmates do.
Yeah, they definitely have more access.
Okay, and I feel that is perfectly analogous to the system of white supremacy. White people have much more, in my opinion, have much more access to information about how the system of racism, white supremacy is structured. Even on just one item, white people have much more access to other white people, which is huge in a system of white supremacy. Just having easy access to other white people generally means you will probably have access to more resources. I feel that in and of itself generally translates into a huge advantage for white people, and I feel that is demonstrated on a regular basis. But, you know, I could be incorrect. Let's see, I wanted to ask, this is now we're getting into the video. What exactly motivated you to put these videos up and the content that's in them? Tell us about that, please.
Okay, well, I made those videos in originally in November of 2007. Now, if you look at the videos now, you'll see that they were posted in 2008 sometime. I can't remember. It's because they were deleted by somebody who somehow got into my account. But so I recorded those videos. It was about the second year that I had been living in New Orleans, and that should say a lot, you know, to some people right there. But specifically, there's a book called A Lesson Before Dying. It's a really popular book by Ernest Gaines, who is also from Louisiana. And I read this book in an English class, and I don't know what it was. I mean, it wasn't that I really learned anything new about racism, but just the story. And then that made me want to just really say something to other whites about race issues. And also, I remember I had a history class at that same time, and we were reading something about something that a Chinese person had written down about the first Europeans that had come to China, and he said, and they described the Europeans as being, they looked like goblins. They had like big eyes and yellow teeth and yellow eyes and pointy noses, and they looked like goblins. And that gave me this perspective, just that, like, you know, people see things different ways depending on, you know, what they're used to seeing. So that's why white people they don't want to admit that there's a system of white supremacy and that racism still exists. Because it's harder for them to see it, maybe. Of course, as you were saying, they should. They've got all the resources to see it. But some of the ignorance might be willing ignorance. So I made these videos because I had always heard people talking about affirmative action and BET and all these things, basically saying that the whites were the new blacks, you know, that white people are the new oppressed people, and that blacks have everything, and that Hispanics have everything, and that being white means that you're going to get taxed more, you're not going to get scholarships, you're not going to get a job or whatever. And it's complete bull. I mean, you know, it's not like whites, just because they're white, automatically they're not in power, because, I mean, Congress is still all white. Most CEOs are still white, you know, managers and of businesses and everything. It's still a ethnically white-controlled country.
System of white supremacy.
Yeah, the country and the whole system that we're talking about. So, but a lot of people, a lot of whites, they talk about how this isn't the case. They say they say the opposite. But I believe that they know that it's true. So, but nobody talks about it like that. Why? It's taboo, you know. Because the way we're taught history in public schools is that the civil rights movement is something in the past, and we're looking at it abstractly, like this is something that had a beginning and an end, and now it's over, and that everything is done. But if we don't learn about the injustices that still go on, maybe not, like, definitely in the U.S., like, you can't say anything bad about cops because cops are all good, you know. But they're the main ones that perpetrate the system on a very, very, like, utilitarian basis, like on a very real level.
Why do you say that?
Well, you know, non-whites are way more likely to be stopped by a policeman, pulled over, anything, searched, even though there's no more or less drug use or violence between any ethnic groups. You know, everybody's equal of the same violence and things. And there's still more Anglos, Caucasians in the U.S. than any other groups. So the fact that these other groups are more likely, particularly the African Americans and Hispanics, they're more likely to be accosted by the police, even though really there's no more tendency really in the groups of crime. It's just white is a way easy for white people to get away with crimes. Just look at the banks who keep getting money from our new black president. You know what I mean? So, of course, this was in 2007 when I made these videos.
Okay.
So, basically, I was making these videos because this is something that I have a hard time talking about in person. I don't ever talk about politics in person.
How come?
Even though I've got all these opinions and things, and I'm really interested in it, but I very rarely make people aware around me physically that I believe this way, and I'm not that comfortable talking to people about it. But the video is a different kind of, it's slightly different. You know, it's still me talking, but it's like I don't see the other people watching until they leave a comment. So I just made these videos because I knew I had the guts to make a video, you know, for what it's worth. But in person, I've never had that kind of, you know, I've never had the cojones, I guess.
You said that white people hacked into your account and deleted some of your videos, and I looked at some of the comments on your page that, you know, white people have left. Can you share with our listeners just the reaction that you have got from white people in response to your videos?
Well, a lot of them disagree, and they'll go on and on about all of these grievances that they have as a white person, supposedly. I've got
like
nosy.
Like what? What are their grievances?
The grievances are that they lose out on jobs to other people because of affirmative action, supposedly, and scholarships and things like that. And they bring up different, you know, they talk about all the black men who rape white women, and it's this whole other issue that it's not really about racism, you know. And they have a lot of misinformation about stuff like that, I notice. And here's one comment that I actually took a screenshot of. I've got it right here in front of me.
Okay.
It says, "I hope the next time you don't get hacked, but get killed instead. You don't deserve to live."
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So this is me just talking on YouTube to whoever might listen, and you know, it incites a lot of anger in people.
Have you had a lot of comments that have been that vile and ugly?
That particular level, not as much, but they get pretty close. And mostly they think I'm the ignorant one. Whenever they find out that I live in New Orleans, they just think it's Stockholm Syndrome. Like, it's automatically because, you know, I'm in a city that has a large black population, so I'm just trying to cover my back in case, you know, so people don't think I'm a racist or whatever.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Does your family, have they seen these videos? Like, do they know, you know, you've been putting this stuff up?
I don't know if they have. Sometimes I get the idea that they have, but no one has ever asked me or talked to me about it at all. So I really don't know. I've never told them, and they've never told me that they've seen them. So I really don't know.
I know I watched one of the videos that you have, and you said that your family, they get together for holidays and they exchange coon jokes. could you share about that, please?
Well, it's not, you know, every member of my family, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's just a few older guys, you know, on my dad's side of the family that have, you know, just on a few occasions I can recall them just telling jokes, you know, racist jokes, and you know, like my grandfather had referred to Hispanics as Julios, and saying, you know, when we were having a garage sale one time, my grandfather told my mom, you know, Julios love that kind of stuff. You should sell a lot of this junk, you know, stuff like that. And it's like in every other aspect, you know, I love my family and everything, you know, it's like they appear to be great people, but then like they might casually refer to black people as niggers, like it's nothing. Mm-hmm. Of course, like I said, this is like, you know, the older people, just a few of the older people, you know. Of course, that's an excuse a lot of people give that really has no weight at all. And just because they're older doesn't mean they can't see the progress that has happened, you know, or that, like, they should recognize it. Like, just because they're old doesn't mean they shouldn't change their mind. But like, you know, in those situations, I would never speak out, you know. I would just try to, I'd feel really awkward, you know. And even my mom, who I know doesn't believe, you know, who doesn't think of non-whites that way, even she might, you know, just kind of chuckle, you know, when they would say something like that. And no, but nobody ever protests it. Nobody ever says, oh, come on, you know, that's racist. That's not right, you know. It's just a really casual thing where I'm from. And it's not just my family. There's a lot much worse people in my town. My town has an active chapter of the KKK. So where I'm from in Texas, not Louisiana, but in Texas. That's where I'm originally from. So, but no, they never seen my videos that I know of, and yeah, that kind of stuff has happened, but it's not entirely commonplace, but definitely something that has happened in my family.
Wow, the individuals that are telling these jokes and saying nigger and coon and whatever else, would you say that these people are racist?
Yeah, I would have to say that they are. I mean, there's no other way to reconcile. You can't reconcile that. I mean, you know what I mean?
It's for like sure.
That. I mean, that's just what they are. I mean, there are lots of other things, you know. I mean, you know, they're churchgoers and stuff like that. But the bottom line is whether it doesn't matter if they're burning crosses or if they're killing people. The fact they are racist.
Okay. Mr. Louis Fuller said he has written a book on countering racism, and his criterion is that if you are a white person, you are guilty of being a racist white supremacist. If you are practicing racism, or if you are allowing it to be practiced, so if that criterion is accurate, would you say that the individuals in your family, when these people that you have said are racist, when they are telling these jokes and doing things that are racist, and your other family members laugh and don't do anything about this, would you say that they are racist as well because they are allowing this to happen?
I would say, yeah, that the rest of us who maybe don't agree with it, but we don't say anything against it, I guess, that yes, we would have to be, you know, that's pretty much racism on our part, you know, acting like it's not racism, you know, or acting like it's funny to use ethnic slurs and things like that and make assumptions about people, you know, because of their ethnicity. Yeah, the rest of us, we're probably, you know, we would be racist too, you know.
Am I changing my racial classification? I want to be businesslike about this. So are you in the admitted racist category or suspected racist?
Yeah, well, you know, in my videos I never said I wasn't a racist. That's what a lot of the whites that comment, you know, should realize. But I'll just say this, you know, I took this test on the internet from the Harvard's website. It's called like an implicit, something about implicity. It's about like subliminal thoughts or whatever. And it's like a word association test. There was a test that was associating good ideas, bad ideas, and whiteness and blackness, like white faces and black faces. And I had a tendency to group the black faces with the negative ideas, and vice versa. Even though I speak on the internet about all these things, you know, I still have that ingrained sense that Africanness is negativity and that whiteness is positivity. In a sense, I could be an admitted racist. But at the same time, I do have, you know, at least my videos, you know what I mean, that say, you know, there's this white supremacist system that it's wrong to oppress people, you know, things like that. So I don't know. I think I would be a suspect, still be a suspected racist.
Hmm. With regards to the family incident, you said everyone present would be guilty of practicing racism, either directly or allowing it, so they would still be racist. And you said that included you.
Right.
Just like I said, I'm just trying to be businesslike here. This is very important for non-white people because it has been my experience. Non-white people have been conditioned to think the exact same way you do in terms of thinking very bad about non-white people and thinking that white people are just the coolest and bestest thing in the world and seeking out white people. And really, white people like you who post videos on YouTube, if you check out the show Wednesday night, the admitted white supremacist known as Farrell Winfrey, the admitted white supremacist known as Tim Wise, I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, these people have been on my show before, admitted that they are white supremacists. Non-white people are not suspicious of these white people at all. They tend to think that these are just the best white people in the world that would never do them any harm because they, you know, talk about racism. They admit that it exists, and they admit that, you know, there is a system set up designed to mistreat non-white people. At the end of the day, they're still admitted racists in the system, and they still should be viewed as such. I think that's very important for non-white people, as I said, just to function in the business of countering racism. So I just want to be clear, if you did admit that you would be guilty of being a racist in the earlier video.
Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
If I say admitted racist, that would be accurate?
Yeah, that would be accurate,
okay.
Too.
Okay. I'm also very curious, the family situation that you were telling me about. What do white people talk about when there are no non-white people around? I'm very curious to hear about that.
Well, most of the time, nothing about race comes up. But if anything comes up about the economy, then you're likely to slide in that direction. If anything comes up about education, you're likely to go in that direction.
Really? That's wait a minute. So give me an example about the education thing.
Well, let's say they're talking about, you know, somebody trying to get into college. And then the whole affirmative action thing that I was talking about earlier might come up. How, you know a white person might say to another white person that's applying to college, well, you better get good grades because you're not going to get any scholarships, you know. Stuff like that. Even though everybody that I know in school, regardless of their ethnicity, has some kind of scholarship. But that doesn't matter. Like, there's no sense of logic. It's just this truism that's come about that non-white people are getting all these benefits and that white people aren't getting any. So when you're talking about education, it could lead in there. Economics, you know, the welfare queens and all that stuff, you know, those kind of complaints. But generally, the people that I'm around, they don't. If there's no, you know, non-whites around, there's not going to be any discussion like secret Nazi planning. It's like, okay, we're gonna have to exterminate all these other people, you know. Generally, whites don't like to talk about racism. You know what I mean? Or, you know, they don't talk about, you know, most of the people that I've been around, if there's no other non-whites around, we're not talking about blacks and Mexicans and stuff like that. We're not talking about making those kind of jokes and stuff like we were talking about. That's really the older generation of whites, I believe, that would do that. Not many of the people that I'm around.
I know with, or I strongly suspect with the recent election of President Obama that in various politics, I strongly suspect it popped up a lot more with Mr. Obama. Okay.
These days, you know, recently, politics is pretty much all about Obama. But it's actually too soon for me to say that, like, any time that a bunch of white people are talking about Obama, that a bunch of racial slurs are going to get thrown around. But because it's literally only, because it's only been a couple of months, literally.
Right.
But yeah, generally, what I've found, what I've seen, is that a lot of whites are considering his election as to be some kind of like a vindication of all the racial injustice in the U.S. in the past. Like, everything is okay now. You know what I mean? It's like Obama is proof that the KKK has been right, you know, all of these years, that, like, black people are getting everything.
Wow.
And that all, you know, affirmative action, all that stuff. And some people have even suggested, I've seen a group on Facebook saying, can we undo affirmative action now that we have a black president? Things like that.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I forgot a very important question. This is a quick one. Your video, the first one that I saw, was white people are not victims of racism. I just wanted to get clarity. Who are the victims of racism?
Well, that's like a good question, because that's something like nobody can really answer. I think it's like pretty much anybody who's ever been treated in any way. It doesn't matter how big of an issue it is. Anybody who's been treated poorly or looked down upon because of their ethnicity or because of their social class. So this might, from time to time, include people like Anglo people, you know, poor whites who may be looked down upon by upper class people. But you usually wouldn't refer to that as racism, but it could be seen like that. But generally, the victims of racism, it kind of depends. It depends on what part of the world you're talking about. But generally, you know, non-whites would be the victims of racism.
Would it be accurate to say, in a system of white supremacy, the non-white people are victims of racism?
Yeah, that's basically what I mean. That, yeah, anybody who's not classified as white, whether it be based on skin tone or on the whole social or economic superiority classification. Anybody who doesn't fit into that, you know, those, I guess, they're, in a way, they're victims by default. You know what I mean?
For sure. As a non-white person, for sure. And as a victim of racism, for sure. I understand exactly what you mean on that one. I have some more questions I want to get to, but I want to let the listeners know, please give us a jingle. We're at 347-215-6071. Give me about 10, and I'm going to check the switchboard, see if we have some callers who want to ask some questions. They, you know, have comments on anything that's been said thus far. I am curious. Do you think that so-called interracial relationships, do you think that represents progress in solving the quote-unquote race problem?
I don't know if it shows progress. In a very basic social sense, I think it does, because obviously there was a time when it was completely unthinkable for whites and blacks and Hispanics and anybody to associate with each other, even like all ethnic groups, not just non-whites and whites, but each individual ethnic group or national group in the States, they would have their own neighborhoods and everything like that. So it does show a certain kind of progress. But You would have to look kind of at each individual relationship. I think each one probably has a different characteristic where there's certain kind of intentions in mind that are not, you know, progressive in terms of ending white supremacy. Like maybe if like the whole term white guilt, you know what I mean? That's what people accuse me of. If it's a white male and a black female, if he's trying to compensate for white guilt or whatever, that a lot of people would accuse him of that. I don't know how often that's the case, but if it were the case, yeah, that would be, you know, not progressive. But overall, I don't think it really means much in terms of ending white supremacy. That's not a huge sign of progress.
Not a huge sign of progress. Okay. Have you had sexual intercourse with a non-white person?
No.
Okay. This is, I try to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
It's logical answers. Has it been your observation that people generally discourage sexual relationships between people where there is an unequal power dynamic between the two people that would be in the sexual relationship, whether that's a teacher and a student, guard, inmate, employer, employee? Has that been your observation?
Yeah, there's that kind of stigma about those kinds of relationships, like relationships being different based on what the person is on their own, you know, in as regards to the society.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there is a certain kind of there's a sense of like taboo there, like that it's kind of scandalous, you know.
Would incorrect? Would that be more accurate?
But it's incorrect.
That
relationship is incorrect.
Where there's an unequal power dynamic between the two people, like I said, in terms of guard, inmate,
mm-hmm.
Teacher, student, even at the collegiate level, or an employer and an employee, that sexual
mm-hmm.
relationships there is viewed by many as incorrect. Is that true in your experience?
Yeah. Pretty much, that's the view, is that it's incorrect in a certain sense.
And they even make laws to prohibit such behavior in some cases. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Do you feel the system of white supremacy represents an unequal power dynamic between white people and non-white people?
Well, yeah, by definition.
Okay. Do you think a white person could practice racism, white supremacy, and engage in sexual intercourse with a non-white person?
You say, could a white person participate in white supremacy and have intercourse with a non-white person?
Right. Could a white person practice white supremacy and engage in sexual intercourse with a non-white person?
Probably so, because to say that they're having intercourse with a non-white person, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're combating, you know, against the white supremacist system outside of their relationship. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah, I think that is possible. I don't know how likely or how common it is, but it's possible.
I know there is evidence that this has happened in terms. Well, I mean, it was rampant on during
long
the
time
system
yeah,
of slavery.
Exactly.
Mr. Strom Thurmond, I strongly suspect that he was a racist, since he was alleged to have had fathered at least one non-white child with a non-white female. So I think there's a lot of evidence that suggests that it has happened in great numbers based on the responses that you just gave in terms of it being incorrect and society generally are often making laws to prohibit sexual intercourse between non-whites and whites. And the fact that it is possible, and the record shows it has happened, that a white person can practice racism, white supremacy, and engage in sexual intercourse with a non-white person, do you think it would be a logical and correct stance for the non-white people, victims of white supremacy, to discontinue sexual intercourse with white people until the system of white supremacy has been replaced with a system of justice?
I don't know. As a personal decision, I mean, it's just a personal decision. As a group, I don't know if that would be, like, the most constructive thing. I can see, like, I can see the whole idea of it, you know what I mean? Like, I can understand why that might, you know, that might be a logical conclusion to come to for yourself. But I wouldn't, you know, to me it doesn't really matter, you know, on just a very basic level, just two people of different ethnicities, you know, having intercourse, that's not, you know, there's nothing inherently wrong with that, you know. Of course, in the context of the white supremacist system, and having, if more people or more non-whites, you know, abstained from those kind of relationships with whites, it could be something, you know, to do, but I don't know if it's the most constructive thing.
Is that a logical position?
Is it a logical thing? Yeah, I guess. I mean, yeah, there's logic behind it, so it's logical.
Okay.
I wouldn't say it's for everybody, though.
Okay. I just want to be correct in what you just stated. Under the system of white supremacy, you don't think there's anything incorrect about a white person engaging in sexual intercourse with a non-white person, a victim of white supremacy?
No, not automatically, not necessarily.
Okay.
I mean, you know, because the fact that they're willing, you know, that they're attracted to somebody of, you know, who's non-white. Of course, this would not include Strom Thurmond, because he was a racist and he did have that relationship. But that's not to say that all whites and should not be associated in that way with non-whites, as long as that system is there. I mean, there is the perception that it's wrong, but I don't believe that, you know, that basically what it sounds like is sexual segregation. You know what I mean? So, like, no, I would say that it's not necessarily a bad thing, you know, interracial relationships. They're not necessarily a bad thing just because whites are part in a way. They're all part of the system.
Could you repeat that again? Did you say that all white people are a part of the system of white supremacy?
Yeah. I mean, everybody plays their own role. There's those that see it, that it exists, and that participate in it and want to keep it going. And there's those that keep it going, that don't realize how expansive it already is. Those would be the extremists, the rednecks. And there's those that are willingly ignorant, that pretend it doesn't exist, and they claim not to be racist. There's those who consciously see it and don't want to see it exist anymore. And there may be like one other category, but yeah, all whites are definitely part of it. But I don't think that means that all whites should that it's necessarily wrong, that it's incorrect for them to be involved sexually with non-whites.
Under the system of white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting. I want to check See if we have some callers in who might have a question. If please plug your YouTube spot again so people can check out your videos. And if you have a blog, let them know. I'm going to take 20 seconds to check the switchboard, and then I will hop right back. So if you could let them know your YouTube site and your blog spot, any other information you would like if you want people to check out your site.
Okay. So my YouTube channel is youtube.com/GretnaBlast. GERTNABLAST. The main videos that people watch are White People, You're Not Victims of Racism, Part 1 and Part 2, and also Barack Obama equals the end of white guilt? ? I do have a blog spot, but I don't want to necessarily merge that realm with the YouTube realm because it's not necessarily related, I don't believe. Even though I may link the blog, that's just my official stance, is that they're not related.
No.
But anyway, so yeah, white people, you're not victims of racism, part 1 and 2. There's a yellow background and a very pale face in the middle with red hair on top, and that would be me. So are you back, Gus?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. 954, you are on the air.
Hi. Victim, hi, this is a music woman.
Oh, right on. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Right on. Thank you for tuning into the show.
And I want to commend you for the questions that you're asking.
Oh.
I want to know, do you plan to use this for a book? Are you going to write a book about this, or... What are your plans with this information?
To replace the system of white supremacy with justice. Number one, I would hope that anybody who thinks this is constructive, share it with, you know, as many folks as you can, other non-white people, just to try and spread as much information about how racism works and what non-white people can do to work against it. In terms of me personally, I'm trying to compile as much information as I can to use it in any way possible. If that means a book, if that means a film, if that means whatever it means, any ways that I can think of to just replace white supremacy with justice, that is the end goal.
Okay. Well, I commend you on that. And I commend Gretna. Is that your name, Gretna?
Gretna Blast is my username on YouTube.
Oh, okay. Well, I commend you. I think that you two young men having this conversation is enabling justice to come forward, because it's in communication that we change things. I haven't heard a negative word between the two of you, and I've been listening for probably most of the show. And so I really think that the more that you have this conversation, I think you should carry this conversation further, because the more that you have this conversation, the more you heal the world.
Right.
Okay. And that's all I have to say. Thank you. I'll keep listening.
Oh, right. Right on. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. And I hope to talk to you soon, Victor.
Oh, for sure, for sure, for sure.
All right. Send me an email.
And she has a – plug your show. Plug your show.
Well, I deal from another point of view of injustice, which is music women, women who compose and perform their own music. My show is Music Woman Live on blogtalkradio.com on Wednesdays from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I have been on since July. This week I feature a drummer from Detroit, Gaylynn McKinney. And I encourage you all to go to my website, wijsf.com, Women in Jazz South Florida, wijsf.com. And thanks for the forum.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for calling in.
All right.
It's Wednesdays, 6 to 8. I've tuned in the last 2 weeks. I'll be tuned in this week as well. Excellent show. Everybody, check out Music Woman for sure.
Okay. You should know that you're feeding back. I think you are you on speakerphone?
I am not, no ma'am.
Some reason you're feeding back, but that's okay because your questions are poignant, and I really believe that you are serving a really great purpose here because this is a conversation that all people need to be engaged in. Why do men mistreat women and marginalize them? Why do white people mistreat and marginalize people of color? You know, why do elders mistreat children and why do children mistreat elders? You know, we have to get to the bottom of why we treat each other the way we do. And I really believe it's that we don't understand that we are all one in this thing together. You know, so please, you know, carry this conversation on and tell other people, Gretna, don't be scared, okay? Don't be scared. Keep on having guts because you have support here and we need to hear your perspective and cure this disease.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Right on. Yeah, I appreciate her calling in. I wanted to, in terms, she made the comment about nothing negative being said between the two of us here, and that's why I keep using the word the business of countering racism. It's really not about, and I just have not found it to be constructive to, you know, jump up and down and call white people names and, you know, and do a lot of cursing and all that. I mean, you know, I think I have a lot of reasons to be upset. I'm sure every victim of white supremacy could, you know, come up with huge reasons to be upset about how they have been mistreated in the system of white supremacy. But I think it's about channeling that in the most constructive means and just, you know, really making an effort to be businesslike and logical in the approach to practicing counter-racism and really the bottom line, problem-solving. What is the problem? How does the system of racism adversely impact non-white people, and what should we be doing to counter that? I think it's very simple and just picking out these are things that, you know, the racists do. This is what we should do to work against that. That's, you know, that's real simple. That's math. That's 1 + 1 = 2. I feel that's the way, you know, we should make an effort to, oh, I'm not feeding back now. Yay. Life is great.
Been, I was on speakerphone, so that may have been, I guess that was the reason. I didn't realize that speakerphone would do that over the radio. I've never done, you know, a phone interview.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, it is, my phone's really quiet for some reason, so I just automatically, I always have the speakerphone on, and I don't even realize that it's on.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I guess I'm hard at hearing. My girlfriend tells me that I'm deaf. So.
Well, we have all learned something. If you're doing a show on Blog Talk Radio, make sure that no one is on speakerphone. Don't want interference on your show. But
yeah. Well, I apologize for that. I'm sure the recording is just really kind of annoying to listen to.
Well, the folks in the chat room have tolerated it, and I've tolerated it as well. And now we'll know for the future. Double check to make sure that everybody is not on speakerphone.
All right.
But, yeah, just, you know, being approaching counter-racism as a business and about problem-solving, I feel that's very constructive from both ends. And I also want to point out Mr. Gretna Blast, I think is also very helpful in having conversations with white people where the white people are just, you know, honestly answering questions and not being unnecessarily evasive or getting defensive. Just, you know, we're trying to problem solve. You know, nobody's really pointing fingers and, yelling. I think it's very helpful when white people are able to do that in discussions with non-white people. I have found that when white people are defensive and when they start saying that, you know, the non-white people are attacking me and that type of thing, I found that it makes the discussions very just not constructive. It's really difficult to get any useful information, and just tends to get very emotional and nothing gets done. So I want to thank you just for just hanging in and answering the questions honest and being as simple as possible. That, I think, is very constructive. And, if you can continue that with more of your videos and things, I think that would be very helpful.
The thing about that is my camera that I originally – used to record the videos.
Yes, sir.
It broke. it was in a suitcase, and I was driving back over here, and somehow it broke. At the same time, I had gotten a webcam, and I try to use that to do a little bit of videos, but the videos always get cut short. Like I made a short video that you've seen about, you know, this interview, the advertising this interview.
Yes,
it was only 11 seconds long. But the original one was like 40-something seconds. So, but I will try to make more videos with just audio and adding images to make the video.
Okay, that would be constructive. I wanted to ask. I don't know. You said you're in New Orleans. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know. How much contact do you have with non-white people? Like, do you spend a lot of time around non-white people?
I wouldn't say a lot of time, because, I mean, just the fact that everybody around, like my neighbors, you know, they're African American, but I don't spend a whole lot of personal time with non-whites. A lot of my classmates, only a few are non-white. A lot of the students generally at my school, you know, it's largely African-American school, I would say. But, no, for the most part, I don't really spend a lot of time with non-whites.
Okay. That's curious. I guess the few times that you do have contact with non-whites, do you ever talk with them about racism, white supremacy?
I can't remember any specific time that I have. Like, with my neighbors, no, never have.
Your neighbors are non-white?
Right, yeah, they're non-white.
Interesting. That's interesting. Well, I'll ask then, I have come to the conclusion, my own conclusions about non-white people and white people having contact when racism, white supremacy is not being discussed directly, or just a constructive exchange of information. How do you feel about non-white people and white people having contact where racism, white supremacy is not being discussed under the system of white supremacy?
It's kind of it's almost like sickening, kind of. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, I'm not saying like I freak out every time there's whites and non-whites talking and it's not about race. But at the same time, like you said, in the system, you know, as a whole, you know, thinking of it that way, it's almost like they're evading the conversation.
Wow.
I guess.
Wow.
So it's kind of, it's as if like, like they're both afraid to mess with it. Like somebody will be listening. You know what I mean? And that it's just, you don't talk about that kind of stuff.
Wow. Wow. Sickening. That's the word you used. Wow. wow. My conclusion. As I said earlier. It has been my observation that non-white people are conditioned under the system of white supremacy to have the exact same thought patterns as you in terms of thinking very poorly about other non-white people and treating them in a manner consistent with that and thinking very highly of white people. And it has been my observation that because of the system of white supremacy and the conditioning that happens in that system, it's been my observation and my conclusion, I just don't think it's constructive for non-white people to have what I call just frivolous contact with white people, just, you know, hanging out at the pool, going to the beach, you know, going to see the Saints play, not talking about racism. I have found that it reinforces the conditioning of racism, white supremacy, and the non-white person, they end up not being suspicious of white people because that white person or those white people that they hang out with, that they, you know, go to the pool or whatever else they do when they're not talking about racism, they end up saying, well, you know, Teddy is cool, Megan is cool. They're not racist. You know, I hang out with white people. What are you talking about, system of white people? We hang out all the time. We were just at the Saints game, man. Please, go ahead, please.
Yeah, it's like, you know, they're not burning crosses or anything, so, and they're not, you know, calling me bad names.
Right.
So
I have not seen where it's constructive, and that's, it's kind of a hard thing I have found sharing this with non-white people that, really, if you're hanging out with a white person, you all should be talking about racism, white supremacy, and if that white person is your friend and, you know, they care about you, hey, they should be very willing to talk to you and give you as much constructive information as possible about the system of racism, white supremacy, and any other problems you may be experiencing directly and or indirectly that are related to the system of white supremacy. Do you think that is a logical position to take for non-white people?
Yeah, probably. I don't know how much advice I could give in that regard. I would be guilty of this too. I think the white people need to be the first people to bring it up. Because it should be obvious why, but since it's the system of white supremacy, the whites who don't believe that the system should continue, like they believe that police brutality and that profiling that this adversely or this is against non-whites, you know, they should talk about that with non-white people. They should be the ones to say that they believe this is wrong, and that, you know, they should try to have a dialogue going on. It's all about the dialogue is just really taboo. It's called, you know, as you said, quote unquote, the race issue. The quote unquote is like, you know, that's really important. Like, it's this thing that it's just this, you know, thing we were supposed to ignore. It's the elephant in the room, I guess. And I think it would be really helpful for people like myself to try to bring these things up instead of waiting on anybody else to do it.
Perhaps you can get your own show here on Blog Talk Radio, and then you can devote as much time as you like about.
I want to say something.
Who's talking here?
That's me now.
Oh, okay, right on. Go ahead.
Yes, I mean, Gretna, I'm with you 100%. You get your own show, I'll be there every day. I'm serious. I'm very serious about that. If you're that strong and you're that brave, I'm there to support you.
All right. Well, you know, since I don't have a camera anymore, you know, that's probably the best route to go.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to get a show on Blog Talk Radio. You know, we're talking logic here. Logic is a good thing, but when you begin to talk from a feeling place, a place of the heart, that's when the healing starts. You know, about the man, the ex-KKK man that came out and apologized because he attacked, It wasn't John Conyers, was it?
I don't know.
Do you remember this? Did either one of you hear about this?
I'm informed about the, I believe it was John Lewis. I could be incorrect.
Okay, Congressman John Lewis, right?
I believe so.
Yes, and he apologized, and I was listening to him on the show of my friend. Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I was listening to him on the show Life Conversations, and in the beginning, I was like, oh, yeah. Like, he's really apologizing, and that's going to change anything. But by the end of the show, I felt in my heart a shift happen. So, Gretna, you have an opportunity to make that heart shift possible on a grand scale. If you really believe what you just said, that you think that white people should start the dialogue with non-whites. Mm-hmm. If you believe that and you act on it, you are going to make a major change.
Well, yeah, I would like to.
Well, just let me know. I'm Music Woman, and just search me out on Blog Talk Radio and let me know. And Victim will let me know. And I'm there to support
too,
you. I can't speak for anybody else. I'm here supporting
right.
Victim, and I'll be there to support you.
All right.
Okay. I'm off.
Right on. I agree with both statements in terms of the constructiveness of a white person beginning that dialogue with a non-white person, a victim of white supremacy. Just I have seen repeatedly where a white person, if they are speaking honestly, giving truthful information, that is very effective, that non-white people non-white people are trained to be very receptive to white people to begin with in the system of white supremacy. It is magnified when that white person is speaking honestly about racism, white supremacy. So I would say, yeah, Blog Talk Radio, you can have a show. There are other sites as well where you could, be getting out there and talking about this, and you wouldn't have to do it face-to-face either if you don't feel that
right.
You are best to do it in that manner. I wanted to ask because the admitted white supremacist known as Farrah Winfrey, she will be on Wednesday night at 6 p.m., 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. She will be here, and she was asked if it was announced on the morning news that all the non-white people would be rounded up and killed at midnight in this area of the world. If that happened, what would white people do? And her response, again, this is an admitted white supremacist white woman. She said that there would be a few white people who would try to do something, who would go out and be harmed themselves in an effort to do something, but the vast majority would do nothing. They would go to bed, get up the next day, pretend as though they did not hear the announcement, didn't know anything about it, and, oh, well, how sad. If that was announced, 8 o'clock tomorrow morning on the news, all the non-white people in this area of the world are going to be rounded up and killed. How do you think the white people in this area of the world, how would they respond?
In this area, the area that I'm in, or in the U.S.?
The area of the world known as the United States.
Okay. Well, I think that's a fairly accurate what she said. I think that was pretty accurate. That a few people might try to stop it. A few people would participate, try to actually make it happen, and the rest might ignore it. That's kind of a metaphorical way of saying, that's the way that they view white supremacy, just existing in the room, the big elephant in the room. Some try to address the elephant, some try to feed the elephant, some are looking away from it. I think it would be more than it might be more than a few people that might try to stop it. I think there's a lot of people out there that would agree with me on these issues, and that they might actually try to get out there and stop something like that. Of course, there's a lot of people that would be just gung-ho, ready to round up all the non-whites. But yeah, that's an interesting premise. You know, what if
it's that case, it'll work. Am I still there?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I thought I was off the queue.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't. I'm being lazy. I can go take.
No, well, no, wait. Let me say this. First of all, I think the city of Atlanta and the city of Washington D.C. were designed just for that to happen. First of all. But second of all, if that happens, Gretna, I hope a whole lot of white people are ready to go to work. Because without the non-white people, there's going to be a lot of work to be done that white people don't do.
Yeah, it definitely in New Orleans. I think most of the whites in New Orleans would just be too lazy to even try to do that, even if they wanted to. Because, you know, There's a lot more non-whites than whites over here.
All I'm saying is, you're gonna have to have a whole training session for maids and for.
Yeah, it would take a lot.
I'm
very
glad you.
Sorry, but I just hope that doesn't happen because there's gonna be chaos in America.
I am
glad. Oh, that would be a great movie. You know, you need to write a script, Victim. You need to write it. I'm reading a book called The Script right now by Alan Darnay. And you need to get that book, The Script. Matter of fact, when I'm finished reading it, I'm going to mail it to you so you can write a script. You and Gretna need to write a script about the day that they kill all the non-white people in America. And white people have to go, this would be funny. This would be, it's not funny. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was thinking, I don't think it would be funny. I'm having visions
funny.
Of Katrina flashing in my head and helpless non-white people. I don't think it would be funny at all. I don't find.
So helpless.
Exactly what I think. Helpless, not me. I think of helpless me. Hoping, man, I hope Gretna comes through. Man, I hope Gretna comes through. Man, I hope Farrah Winfrey comes through because we are really in a bad position. That is exactly what I'm thinking. I don't want to see that movie. I don't want to read a book about that. I would have nightmares, I think, if I ever saw it because New Orleans gave me every indication that it could happen, and if it did, I did not see droves of white people heading down to New Orleans to help those black people and non-white people who were clearly in need of great assistance. It did not come. Is what I'm saying correct, Mr. Gretna Blast?
Well, in 05, I was not living in New Orleans, but my brother was living here before I moved here.
Mm.
And he's in the Navy, and the Navy guys that were stationed here, they left, like they were evacuated, and like the Army came in, and they were supposed to be controlling the city. So the people who knew people in the city, who might have known people in the city, they were not going to be here. It was outside people who came in that were supposed to help, and so. A lot of stuff got stolen from the Navy base by the Army. It's kind of an interesting thing.
Wow. Wow.
And I'm sure that was not, I mean, that's the least of what they might have done.
Wow. Yeah, that movie idea does not, it is not something that I find humorous. And just New Orleans, Katrina in and of itself, that in and of itself kind of gives me an idea of what things would look like if that ever did happen, where the white people, if they decided that they were going to round up non-white people and do whatever with them, that's kind of the image that I have of non-white people just being helpless and at the mercy of white people. Like I said, I hope it doesn't happen. Hopefully we'll never get there and I won't have to see that. But that's kind of the grim vision that I have in my head. Yeah. Do you think, well, I figure I might know the answer, but do you feel it is constructive for non-white people to question white people, to do this sort of thing, like me seeking you out to see if you would speak with us on the show? Do you feel it's constructive for non-white people to question suspected racists and or admitted racists?
Yeah, that would be constructive in most situations. I mean, I wouldn't want anybody to get fired, you know, if bringing that stuff up at work, if that was going to get them fired or something. I mean, obviously getting fired for something like that, that could be something to take up with the ACLU. But I'm just saying, in certain situations, yeah, that would definitely be a constructive thing. It's a dialogue that needs to happen on a pretty regular basis. I mean, just the communication of it. So, you know, somebody has to start the conversation. So, for the most part, it would be constructive, but obviously they would probably have to be somewhat cautious.
Certainly. Yeah. I wanted to ask if I could get honest response here. I Mr. Robert Jensen, his statement is, as much honesty as we can bear. And I like Mr. Neely Fuller's quote. Mr. Fuller says, any white person that wants to work against the system of racism, do not lie to non-white people. That is a huge no-no. Never lie to a non-white person. I would like to know, what is your honest assessment of black people at this point in time?
My honest assessment of black people?
Yeah, just what do you think about black people at this particular point in time?
Well, being a student of jazz, I think black people in the U.S. definitely seem to have a really close relationship with themselves. They seem to be really altruistic within themselves, and when creating art, I just think jazz is one of the best things about the U.S. And obviously that was a major contribution from the African American community. So my assessment of black people in general was that they have the capacity to do really great things, and that they just have to kind of find their way, you know, to organize and reorganize. They just seem to be kind of disorganized at the moment. And the fight for justice, you know what I mean?
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. that's basically what my assessment is. There seems to be different sects, different factions of the African American community. You know what I mean? That there's like there seems to be infighting. And any route that can try to fix these fractions to try to pick back up where the civil rights movement was left off, to realize that it's not over yet. That's a major, that's kind of a conclusion that needs to be really agreed upon, I think. But it's difficult for me to say, I think, as an Anglo, for me to tell somebody else what they should do as a part of another ethnic group. I mean, I've really come to believe that there's only just the human race. When you're talking about race, we're just humans, and then ethnicity is just phenotype. You know, I mean, I don't think anybody has any natural inclinations for any kind of behavior. So, I mean, I don't really have much of an assessment just for black people. I don't really don't really like to make those kind of assessments.
Oh, right. Just getting, for myself, being classified as a so-called black person in the system of white supremacy, that is significant information from a white person hearing how they think about black people. Very important for me, anyway. And also in terms of your assessment, I just want to see if I can rephrase to see if this is this is accurate. Are you saying that it would be constructive if non-white people, black people in this area of the world, if they stopped fighting amongst themselves and focused on white people to replace the system of white supremacy with justice? Do you think that would be a correct thing to do? That's something we should be looking to do?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay. Stop fighting amongst ourselves. I agree completely. I'm down. I have my last couple questions here and almost out of here. This is not crazy. I'm sure people listening to the broadcast will think Gus is kind of crazy. What is he talking about? I might be crazy. This is, I am a victim of racism, white supremacy, so I might be crazy. But with regards to this question, I'm most definitely not crazy. Are you familiar with the children's story Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Is the character Winnie the Pooh, is that a white person?
The voice?
No, the character, Winnie.
Character?
That actual character, yes. Is that a white person?
It's been a while since I've seen the cartoon or read a book. I don't know. I think he would be the white person.
You think Winnie the Pooh is a white person?
Yeah. Just off the top of my head. I mean, it's been a while since I've read Winnie the Pooh.
Okay. Any of the other animals, do you think that they are white people, like Piglet, Tigger, Owl, I don't know, any of the other creatures that hang out with Winnie, do you think any of them are white people?
I'm not sure. I want to say that Igor and Piglet are like non-whites.
Okay. Why do you say that?
They're kind of like outcasts.
They're outcasts. Okay.
And Tigger, I'm not really sure. He's like, I'm not sure what Tigger is.
Is he a white person?
I don't know.
Okay. Is Christopher Robbins a white person?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you look at him, he's definitely a white kid.
So he's a white person?
Yeah. As far as his role in the overall story, I guess it's hard for me to remember what he does. I mean, he's Pooh's friend. So I guess, yeah, he's also a white person.
Okay. So according to you, you feel that Winnie the Pooh and Christopher Robbins, they are white people in the story of Winnie the Pooh.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay. I could be incorrect. I watched Winnie the Pooh. When was the last time you saw Winnie the Pooh? I'm just curious.
I don't even know. I really don't know.
Okay. I watched Winnie the Pooh in the last 6 to 8 months. I watched Winnie the Pooh. A non-white person told me that they felt like Eeyore. You said that you felt Eeyore was one of the outcasts. These are non-white people. A non-white person told me that they felt like Eeyore. And I said, wow, that's very interesting. And they said that white people use Winnie the Pooh to make diagnoses of ADHD and other psychological disorders. I said, wow, I didn't know this. And she sent me web pages to where this is true. People use this to diagnose psychological illnesses that people have. And I watched the film. Did you know that?
No, well, it makes sense. I mean, all the characters do have very defined personalities.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I watched the film, and I said, you know, I think I could be incorrect. I think this is excellent illustration and metaphor of racism, white supremacy. I felt that Christopher Robbins, he's a white person. I didn't think any of the other characters are white people. I could be incorrect. I thought everybody else there was not a white person, but, you know, I could be incorrect. I wanted to ask, since you're down in New Orleans, do you think it would be constructive if David Duke, if I could snatch him and get him to be a guest on the Cows, do you think it would be constructive to have him share his views with how he feels about white people, President Obama, any issues related to race? Do you think that would be a constructive thing for non-white people to hear what he thinks?
Well, I don't know, because there's definitely a lot of footage of him already. I mean, I don't know if he would give you any new information. Maybe it would be constructive to see if he did give you any new information, but for the most part, he seems to be of the belief that whites need to like fend for themselves, you know, that kind of attitude. So I don't think he would go along with this idea, the whole idea of there being a system of white supremacy. I think he would reject that notion altogether. So it would be really hard to interview him in the same way that you've interviewed other people.
Oh, for sure. And I would have a different approach. As I said, I would just be very curious to hear his views about what he thinks about, you know, the problems facing white people in this area of the world, what should be done about that, how he feels about President Obama. Just
yeah, that would be interesting to hear. Yeah, definitely.
He
probably would be pretty honest with you.
I would love it if that were the case. I would like, since you're down in that neck of the woods, I would like to make a compensatory investment request. If I have Mr. David Doctor, he is a doctor, I've been told now, Dr. David Duke's phone number here. I could be incorrect, but I think a white person would be much more responsive to another white person. If you would be willing to give him a jingle at your leisure, if you are able, just, you know, ask him if he would be willing to come on a radio show and share his views, that there's an audience that would be very interested in hearing what he thinks about the problems facing white people currently, how he thinks about, you know, what he thinks about President Obama. Just, you know, give him an opportunity to share his views and speak honestly. We'd be very interested in hearing that. Would you be willing to try to give him a jingle and see if he'd be willing to come on the show?
Yeah, I could try, you know. I could make a call and see what bites, you know, see what happens.
I would be very appreciative. I have his phone number here. If you want to write it down, or I can email it to you, it would be easiest for you.
Yeah, you can just email it to me. It'd be fine.
I will do that today. Yeah, because I would love to have him on the show. I would be tickled just to hear what he thinks about white people in this area of the world, particularly if he's very honest. That would be gold, man. I'd be ecstatic.
yeah.
Also, well, you already said you are going to make an effort to make more videos and to talk about racism, white supremacy, and to try and share your views and things on the system of racism, white supremacy. Is that correct?
Yes.
Groovy. Groovy. Also, last request, and then I want you to plug again your website. I would be, I think, much more constructive, much more effective if I had my own cell phone. I am a victim of racism, white supremacy, working with very limited resources. It has been my experience. White people have access to lots of information and resources, and they know how to get things, and they get things. They demonstrate this to me every day, that they have incredible access to making things happen, getting things done, and getting the things that they need to function effectively. I would like to make a request. If you have any information or the ability to get me a cell phone, I would be incredibly effective, and I can show you better than I can tell you how effective I could be with my show if I had a cell phone. Do you think that's something you could work on? That would be two tasks. That would be great. David Duke, cell phone. Do you think you could work on that?
Maybe.
Uh-oh. Got a maybe. Yes, I mean, you know, I have other white people I'm definitely going to ask. Is that something that you would be willing to work on?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'm on a very specific budget myself. You know, I don't pay for a lot of my own bills.
That is exactly what I mean. White people have access to information, resources, and other white people to be able to get the things that they need. I'm not saying you yourself need to go out and do anything. I'm just saying you're a white person in the system of racism, white supremacy. I think you have a lot more access to things than I do, even if you don't necessarily have it in your wallet per se. Is that something you would be willing to work on?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I can just get you a cell phone, you know what I mean?
I will ask other folks. If you change your mind, I would definitely be more constructive with that. Can you plug plug the but the David Duke, I am going to email you the number because that would be fantastic. Can you plug your YouTube site again?
Yeah, it's youtube.com/ Gretna Blast, GERTNABLAST, that's Gretna Blast. Yeah, that's my YouTube channel.
YouTube channel, groovy. Oh, and the last one, not to put you on the spot or anything, but do you think that, well, I have put you on the spot, you know. I'm a victim. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. do you think it is constructive and correct for non-white people, victims of racism, white supremacy, to make compensatory requests for the things that they need that would be constructive? Do you think that is a correct thing to do?
I don't know. I've never even that's a new thing to me, just, like, really. But I would say, yeah, between people that they know personally and they have personal contact with.
Does that seem logical? If we're in a system of racism, white supremacy, for the victims to go to white people to make compensatory requests for things that they think, things that they need, and things that would be constructive for them?
Yeah, that's logical.
Groovy, that's all
but,
I want to check.
Obviously, as we just now demonstrated, it could be awkward.
I don't think there's, as a victim of white supremacy,
right. There's
nothing more awkward than being victimized because you are not white every day in all areas of activity. So that should pale making a request for things that you need that would be constructive. That should pale in comparison to all the other awkward incidents of mistreatment that happen every day in the system.
There's nothing more
awkward than being on top of your roof after a hurricane has come and busted your city wide open, and you're having to beg for help that may or may not come. That is awkward, correct?
Well, yeah, it's more than awkward.
Thank you. So a phone or anything else that you might need, that should be a piece of cake. You should be willing to ask for that like 20 times a day if that's something you need. At any rate, I will definitely be in contact. I am super appreciative for you taking time to hang out on your Monday evening down in New Orleans. I think it has been a constructive conversation. I might even be looking to have you back on the show at some point.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Okay. And perhaps once you get your show rolling along, I can be a guest on your show.
Yeah.
For sure. Ladies and gentlemen, again, Mr. YouTube's Gretna Blast, Mr. Adam down in New Orleans, I want to thank you for tuning in to this episode of The Cows.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you hanging out with us. I will talk to you soon. I will email you today, as a matter of fact, so I'll definitely be in contact soon.
All right.
Groovy, man. Thank you so much, sir.
All right. You too.
All right, man. Peace.
Bye-bye.
Groovy. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Another episode of The Context of White Supremacy. Thank everybody for listening to the four shows I've done previously. That was the whole reason I was able to do this show prime time, having you all listen in to the show. Keep listening, download the episodes, tell other people to tune in and check out the broadcast. That would be super, super helpful. In terms of requests, I highly encourage non-white people, that's what you should be doing. Ask white people for the things that you need. Obviously, they may not be willing to give you everything that you need. They're probably not. You shouldn't expect that they will in a system of white supremacy, but definitely ask. And if anything, they should feel awkward about it, not you, because you're being mistreated. You are in a position to be that where the entire system is designed to mistreat you. So there should be no problem for a non-white person making a request from any white person to get things that they need, constructive things that you need. So I highly encourage that. Ask away at any time, any white person that you think can help you out with the things that you need. I highly encourage that. And phrase it exactly like that. It is a compensatory investment request, compensating for my victimization in the system of white supremacy. That's one thing any white person can do, help out non-white folks. Also want to remind everyone, Wednesday night, 6 p.m., Farrah Winfrey, admitted racist, will be here to address the last time she was on the show. The listeners and myself suspected that she may have been practicing racism and being very evasive and indirect with her responses to questions. She will be here Wednesday, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, specifically to address what happened on the last show. So I'm very much looking forward to Wednesday night. And this Sunday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, William H. Jones, professor at Florida State University, he will be here to discuss his book, Is God a White Racist? That will be Sunday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. Is God a White Racist? That is Sunday. I'm very much looking forward to talking to Mr. Jones about his book. Also want to make sure the admitted racist known as Hunter, this is a white man that posts on The Code. He came and offered his commentary for what I should do and how I should question white people, or how I should talk to what white people I should have on the show. I am not interested in hearing criticism from any white person in the system of white supremacy. If you think I'm not doing a constructive job as an admitted racist, you are in the best position to get out and do anything you like to address what should and should not be happening to replace white supremacy with justice. I should not have to ask any white person what it's like to be a member of the white supremacist team. You're on the team. If you think that's information I need to know, you can tell me any time. You can share that information with non-white people at any time. Just wanted to respond to that. Non-white people, you should not be listening to moral criticism, performance criticisms from any white person about what you are doing to counter racism. If they don't think you're doing a correct job, that is their fault, because we're in a system of racism, white supremacy, and white people, the white people who practice racism, they are the experts about how this system is run. They are in the best position to counter racism. So don't let any white person give you criticism about what you are doing to replace white supremacy with justice. If they don't like it, ask them what they are doing. So whenever you're ready to get your show, Hunter, I'll tune in, listen, and take notes. In the meantime, I'm not interested in any of your feedback. Thank you, admitted racist known as Hunter from thecode.net. Anyway, I want to give a shout-out to everybody. Thank you for tuning into the show. BlackTalkRadio.net, definitely check them out. Lots of support. Thank you, Hakima. Check out the Frisky Kitty counter-racism scratch post, brand new blog. She has a counter-racist film review for the film Hamburger Hill. Check it out again, the Frisky Kitty counter-racism scratch post. If you are into felines and replacing white supremacy with justice, that is the blog for you. Shout out to Back of the Bus, Non-White Alliance. Check his blog out. Constructive information. Check the blog, racism-notes.blogspot.com. I will update my blog this week. Tune in to the upcoming shows. Thank you, everyone, for checking out the broadcast. I will be back Wednesday night. Thank you so much. And Gus T. Renegade, the Cows, Context of White Supremacy, signing out for the broadcast.
Hey, yo, baby, come over here. Let me holler at you for a minute.
I am your conscience.
Nah, I'm saying for real. Come over here. Nah, for real. Let me holler at you for real. No bullshit.
I am making a total ass of myself.
Fuck it. All right.
I am.
Yo, hey, check it out. Hey, you want to go to the Waffle House? Get some food?
I just did another pickup line that didn't go well.
No. What the fuck you mean? Yo, I'm saying, yo. I'm. All right.
Maybe I should tell her what a famous rapper I am. Yeah. That'll get her on my side.
I'm Fonte from Lil Brother. You heard, you know me, can't stop, won't stop.
She's
not,
never
you know.
Heard of you. Wow, what a surprise.
Right, look, okay, maybe
I
need to have my eyes. Whatever, fuck, I'm just saying, man, don't let a nigga go home tonight, man. I
maybe you should just say something nice to her and wrap it up.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, you looking good, you know what I'm saying?
You're not fucking tonight.
Don't let a nigga go home alone tonight. It's,
I am your cop.
Parking lot pimp. 9 out of 10, more parking lot pimp. Ladies want lobster, but better for shrimp. The Kimbe Mutombo blocking all the pimp. Niggas ain't pimp. Tugging elbows. When you walk by, compliment you on your toes. Heard all the cons, now listen to the pros. When you look good, girl, that's just the way it goes. As if you didn't know, I saw you at the bar. I'm leaning on this Escalade, but it ain't my car. Where you going, recognizing something like a star. My crib down the street, we ain't gotta go far. I know I sound raw, but I'm just being real. No games, aim is to tell you how I feel. Trying to cop the feel, me and you, backseat. I just wanna chill. If looks could kill, first name would be Bill.
House on the Friday.